Welcome, everyone. If you would turn in the prayer book to page 183, and we'll sing the Shakyamuni mantra. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Om mune mune maha munaye soha. If you would turn to page 34, and we'll say the four immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. Beings, equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then if you turn to page 37, at the bottom of the page, we'll chant Shenrizig's mantra 8 times and the Green Tara mantra 7 times. Om mani padme hum, om mani padme hum, om mani padme hum, om mani padme hum, om mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Om tare tu re soha. 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 And the children can leave and go to class.
Oh, we'll hear some more. It's okay. Well, hello, welcome to the Kadampa Center. My name is Steep, S-T-E-E-P, or Stephanie, whichever you'd prefer. I got the nickname Steep from Geshe Gelug, who's our teacher. When he first came to this country, he lived in my house for about 9 years. And I thought he was calling me Steep because they don't pronounce F in Tibetan. So at first I thought he was calling me Steve, and I kept saying, my name's Stephanie. He goes, I know. And then the next day he'd say, Steep, ba 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 ba. I'd say, you know, my name's Stephanie. He goes, yeah, I know. finally I said, why are you calling me Steve? He goes, I'm not calling you Steve, I'm calling you Steep, like a steep hill. Go straight up. I said, well, steep can also mean straight down. But I kind of like the name because it reminds me kind of whether it's up or down, it depends on me. So this is like summer camp. You know, it's really I'm not teaching anything. It's all just kind of show and tell. And there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to share today, hopefully. But let's start with maybe a 5 to 10 minute meditation, because I know for most of us it's hard to get in a meditation during the week. We're busy. It's a crazy, hectic day. You know, now you've got childcare. You got this collective vibe going on in the room. And I'll walk you through some of it. So first, most important thing is to make sure your back is straight. If you're sitting in a chair, make sure your feet are flat on the floor. And at home, you might want to put a cushion under your butt, because it gets your hip a little higher than your knees, and that helps keep your back straight. Then if you'd like, you can put your left hand below your navel and your right hand gently on top of it, so you make an oval with your thumbs just gently touching. You'll see that in a lot of the pictures of people meditating. That keeps your arms out away from your body, so you can have nice, deep breaths. Then you tuck your chin just a little bit, because that actually brings your head in line with your back, which is supposed to be straight, right? You can put your tongue at the back of your teeth so that your jaw is not clenched, it's lightly open. And then same with your eyes, you can have them lightly open to bring in some light. And then what you're going to notice when you're going to count your breath, so one inhale and one exhale is one. The next inhale, exhale is two. You can count up to five, or you can count up to 10, whichever is better for your mind. The point is to try to bring your thoughts back over and over again to your count. Now, why are you doing this? Well, your mind is really running all over the place, and it's training it to be more focused. So when your mind starts traveling off to something, don't get mad and berate it. Treat it as though you would treat a really precious child and just bring it back. Because every time you actually notice that it's gone, you're strengthening your muscle to bring it back to your thought, to your account. And that muscle will get stronger, just as though you were lifting a weight. So kind of celebrate the fact that you noticed and you bring your mind back. And the other thing I would just suggest, if you have been doing this and you want to try it, is notice your thoughts, don't clamp down on them. When the thought arises, it's almost like you've got a camera and you're now zooming, it's got a wide angle lens, so that you're getting way up above that thought and just looking down on it like it's sitting on the ocean, and then it has less power over you and you will be less tempted to follow it. And the point then is to just notice that your thoughts are rising and falling just like your breath. And just like your breath, there's usually a pause in between them. And if you can expand that pause between your thoughts, that's where you'll actually get a little bit of a break from them. So now, with all that explanation, why don't we just start? And if you hear people moving around or me coughing, it's all grist for the mill. It just helps you notice how your mind is moving all the time. So then I will let you know when about 8 minutes is up. So, welcome to camp. Today, I'm going to be talking about purification. I know you all have been talking about that some this summer, and some of you have been to the retreat. And every religion has some kind of process for purifying things that people regret, negative actions that they regret. But, you know, it has a kind of a certain connotation, that word. And I started playing around with another word. I want to see what you all think. Beautification. It's a beautification project. That's what purification is. And, you know, when you think of purification, at least for me, I think of like lancing a boil or vomiting a meal that had some poison in it or something. And while that metaphor may be helpful, it also, you know, is kind of pussy. So this beautification metaphor that I came up with gives me a little more energy for it. And I think metaphors are hugely helpful because they're like vehicles that get us from thinking this way to over here. So I play around a lot with metaphors, and I want to hear what some of your metaphors are as well. But first, to get you to see how I came up with this metaphor, I've got a little clip I'm going to show you, and then we'll talk about how this relates to purification / beautification. If you can't see, just get up and move. Cool. Somebody grab the light. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to talk into a microphone because people are listening at home, believe it or not, which always makes me feel really... Yeah.
So when you taught Discovering Buddhism recently, you played that, I think it was the last session, and so I got the link for it, and I put it out on my Facebook page, and it got shared so many times
right.
from my Facebook page, because everybody, even non-Buddhists, really liked the energy of that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because it, like you said, you know, something got turned around entirely. Completely turned around, which is what a beautification project is all about, what purification is all about. There's some neglected corner of our mind stream, our neighborhood. Now we're talking about our own little mental neighborhood, right? There's some little neglected corner there that's attracting a lot of garbage, that's attracting a lot of negative energy, a lot of people who aren't really helpful. That's the same thing that's going on in our little mental energy, and so our mental neighborhood. And the way that I started looking at this is, you know, it's the part that we're not looking at. There's plenty of other stuff in that neighborhood that's really nice to look at. Oh, there's those fun people, and there's this gorgeous garden, and there's these nice cars. This corner, I don't really want to look at too much. So where for us is that corner? And I think, you know, when we talk about things that we regret, it's easy for us to automatically look at the things that we've done with other people that we regret. The things that we have, how we might have physically harmed somebody, how we've verbally trash talked somebody, how we've gossiped about somebody, how we haven't had kind thoughts or we're impatient. Those things can pretty much come to our mind pretty quickly if you're like me, and a lot of people are working on trying to change that. People are trying to become kinder and more patient and more open and more accepting when you come to a place like this. And sometimes what we don't pay as much attention to is the harm that we've done ourselves. That's a little bit harder for us to see. It's kind of way in the back of our neighborhood. But it's collecting just as much garbage. I mean, how much trash talk do you engage in about your own self? How many times are you the first person that you blame and really put down? You might not gossip about yourself, but you might even harm yourself physically. If you look at your whole life, there's probably so many times that we actually don't do ourselves much good, where we're not really as compassionate to ourselves as we would definitely be to somebody else. We don't have as much patience with that part of ourself. We don't have as much understanding with what we went through. And so that part we just push to the side and look over here, and slowly it starts to collect a lot of crap. And that there's ways that we can start to clean that up. That's why I love this metaphor. And so in this real-life example, this man who wasn't Buddhist, he said, this is a little good luck guy. I'm going to put him here, see if it turns the energy around. And it completely changed everything. All the garbage that was sitting there got cleaned up. It attracted people. It attracted all kinds of offerings. That's the same thing that starts to happen when we clean up that kind of area of our mind. It starts to attract better ideas that for ourselves and other people who want to engage with it. So for myself, I was thinking, yeah, there's times in my history that I'm not very compassionate with what I've lived through or what I survived, where if somebody else told me that story, I would be, wow, you know, I'd be very supportive and compassionate to them. But for me, I'd rather like, let's just move on. But if the point in Buddhism is to change our habits, particularly our mental habits, then we really do need to look at what fostered those mental habits. What swamp or what neglected little block did we come from that might need some tending to, that might need some weeding and cleaning up? And that's also a purification. That harming ourselves or not helping and protecting and supporting ourselves is the same thing. It has the same negativity as if we're doing that to somebody else. And I think we forget that. That when we say, may all beings have happiness, we're a being. And that harming ourselves is equal to harming somebody else. And so that's why I like the beautification part. It's meant to do something positive about it. So the very first step, then, is to have a willingness to get pretty. To have a willingness, a recognition of where that is, and a willingness to change it. So a lot of you who've been studying about purification, you know, there's what they call the four opponent powers, and the first one is to have some regret. So again, that's very easy for us to usually get our head around when we're thinking about our actions towards other people. And another way then of saying regret is just willingness, a willingness to change, a willingness to clean up your corner, not just the way that you've engaged with other people, but the way that you've engaged with yourself. So I want you to come up, I want you to close your eyes for a minute and just think of a metaphor that will work for you. I mean, you can use this exact same one, or you can use an ocean front, or you could use any spot that you want to take as a metaphor for that neglected corner of your own mind. The more metaphors we can get going, the more powerful it will be. So take a look at what would represent the place where you trash talk yourself, where you haven't been as patient with yourself, where you don't visit, where you don't make any kind of offerings, where you shortchange yourself. This becomes a magnet for more broken glass and litter. So when you have that area, then turn it into some kind of landscape that's going to get cleaned up. And really see yourself starting to do that, whether it's putting a statue there or really enlisting the help of other people and picking up all this garbage and what it would look like. How you can ask for help from your neighbors. How the most amazing miracles and kindness might start rippling out. And once you have this willingness to beautify something, it will never fall into disrepair again. Okay, now what I'd like you to do, since we've got so many people here and you have just a wealth of information, is turn and talk to two or three other people in your group, either about the visualization you just came up with or some other metaphor that you feel is equally as powerful. So just think as much as you want to share is fine. But I think that there's a wealth of information here. There's lots more metaphors that we can use. You could even think of other, like there's so many other projects out there that could be used as a metaphor. For example, I saw online something about this guy who's built this machine that can take garbage waste, kitchen waste, and turn it into oil to be used to heat houses. So things like that, that are turning garbage into something positive. If you have one of those you want to share, or the visualization that you just came up with. Okay, so take about 5-10 minutes to do that. If you don't know somebody, introduce yourself. Got lots of people here who've been here a while. Maybe you can walk around, make sure somebody has somebody. Just try to finish up your conversation and come back to the group. Thank you. Great. Looked like everybody had something to say. Anybody want to share what they were talking about so that everybody else can hear a bit of it? Kind of recap any interesting stories? Yeah, there's a. I think we might have a couple of mics too, right? There's another
person. The thought that came to my mind was how when I was a kid on the farm years ago, everybody had junk, and when you lived out in the countryside, there weren't any landfills, so every family had to take their stuff and go dump it, and here's how it's kind of like regrettable actions. You'd always look for some place to dump it where it was out of sight in some gully. You know, you wouldn't put it on the hilltop. You'd haul that junk out there, find some gully or wash, you'd put it all in there, and then try to forget about it. But it's still there, of course, and piles up out of sight. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose later the analogy could be, well, eventually you might have to clean that stuff up. And so right. That's kind of, and then, you know, here in our county, we have these vast landfills. And in fact, they do clean it up. Eventually they put dirt over it. They make mm-hmm. a nice park out of it. But there's still junk being created every day.
Right, right. There's junk being created every day. That's a good sound bite for our mind. And there's some incredible projects of ways people are trying to actually use garbage. First of all, minimize our junk. But also, I saw this one place where instead of recycle, they call it upcycle. So they take things and turn it into brand new things. Yeah. Any other stories or metaphors we can... Yeah, right here. And also there's another mic, in case we want to...
When you said about visualizing the ocean front, for me, my mind was redirected to from the ocean and going to a cave.
Mm.
It was kind of... in my idea, that cave was kind of scary to get inside, and dark and cold, not pretty, full of edges that it was uncomfortable, rough. And the analogy was to transform that place in a nook, in a cozy place where I could take care of it and put some twinkle lights and see what's inside.
Right. Nice.
And smooth the edges.
Nice. Very nice. Because as we just saw, almost anything can be beautified, right? Because it's the nature of things is not fixed. So just like our mind, if the nature of our mind was fixed, then purification would not work. If the nature of that corner in Oakland, Berkeley, was fixed, then they couldn't have done anything about it. But I heard one teacher say that as soon as we develop that willingness, that regret, that willingness to change, that willingness to beautify, and of course we're going to have to take the effort to do it, but just having that willingness means that the fourth power, which is the promise not to dirty it up again, is already happening. So that corner, those people are never going to throw mattresses or break bottles on that corner again. They already developed the willingness. So that's our very first step, is looking at that environment and developing the willingness. I saw something on about all the plastic that's in the ocean, and even when it gets broken down into these tiny, tiny bits, it's still there. And it's still harming the animals in the ocean. And so similarly with the things that we haven't cleaned up, they might be so small it's hard to see them. And, you know, what are they still causing? What effects are they still having on others, ourselves, and others around us? Any other stories? Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. I have a kind of image that I use, but what you just said reminded me of what happens when we do clean up. And I was thinking of those little bitty beads that they put in cleansing, facial cleanses that they're now finding are accumulating in water sources and clogging up drains and things.
Right.
And so not only is it important for us to clean up the quarter of our mind, but have some place productive to put the junk. I don't know enough to know where that process is, but we don't want to take our junk and put it out for other people to suffer from.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, for those of you who have learned like certain mantras and certain prostrations and the very traditional purification practices, that's that cleaning up. That's the equivalent of putting the Buddha statue on that corner and then having it attract all this incredible results. But also, you know, we've read in the Lam Rim that you can turn your daily cleaning exercise into a purification process. You know, when you're washing the dishes tonight or you're cleaning your house for the week ahead, one of the very easy ways to do this is to join it with your thoughts, and your thoughts can be as you're sweeping. This is not just dirt that I'm sweeping. These are the results of my trash talk. These are the results of the lack of compassion I've had for myself. This is the result of my, you know, whatever it is, you know, over partying when I was 18, whatever it is. This is the result of all of these things that I'm cleaning up, and I'm you can just conjoin it with your actual activity that you're doing. It's very, very, very powerful. So, it's too bad we just can't take like a time-lapse photograph of that little corner in our mind, but we would really be able to see that. So I have another video that I would like to show you, and it's not as much of a cleanup, but it is about taking space that would never ordinarily be seen as beautiful and making it something beautiful, because you never know who might see it. Same thing with the parts of your mind that you think are kind of kept under wraps. You never know who's really encountering you and all of you and the ways that you can use your whole mind to benefit yourself and others. So, yeah.
Which one?
You know, you have to scroll down to get to Ella and Peter. Thank you. Okay. I was scouring the internet for some of these, and this one just I thought was very creative. So I have a feeling I'm going to be getting a lot in email soon. You can keep the lights off because we're going to show another one. You are just such amazing creative beings. You know, it's just amazing what we can do. We can cause a lot of problems, but we can cause an amazing amount of good. So that'll lead into the last one. This last video, there's not a whole lot of information I have about it, but this is, if you know of those statues in Afghanistan that were blown up, this is about what's going on right now. And again, a very creative remedy. That's all. There wasn't much online, and they actually kept it very quiet. Only like 100 people attended, but they're playing with putting a hologram there instead. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. So this is summer camp, so we're just having fun with videos, but just trying to remember that these are metaphors for and to give you some encouragement and a little pep talk about your own beautification project. Any questions or thoughts or comments about all of this, about what purification is / beautification? So then we're going to go play. We're going to, unless there's no questions, what I want you to do is take a minute to dedicate all the merit that you created by coming here today, by sharing your thoughts and energy with the people around you, by examining what corner of your mind you would like to beautify. And for sharing yourself. So anytime we create any positive action like that, first of all, it definitely can purify something negative. And it's like gold in your pocket. Oh, yeah. There's just in the nick of time. The door was closing.
So this place in the mind, the corner of the mind that we're beautifying, so I keep re-beautifying it. So I wonder, does it ever get, you know, does it ever stay beautified, or do I have to keep re-beautifying it over and over and over again?
Yeah, you know, that some of that stuff that we threw in the gully that David was talking about, it's got a lot of dirt over it. And so it takes a lot of digging to get it out. So one day's worth of digging, you know, just doesn't get it. But the kinder we are to ourselves in a kind of project like that, like imagine if you were cleaning that whole gully full of old refrigerators and tires and mattresses, and you would have to really give yourself a lot of credit for taking that on, a huge amount of credit for, like, I'm going to go out there and clean all this up. So, you know, come up with little ways of giving yourself that pep talk, like I love time-lapse photography. You know, it would take more than a day. You'd have to, like, kind of flip through and see in a year's time how much progress you make. You know, what if you were out there with a spoon digging? So I remember when I was in India, and I was at the monastery, and Geshe-la told me, oh, yeah, we hired some people to mow the grass in front of his dorm. And I thought, oh, this would be interesting to watch. So I thought they were going to come out with these little hand-push old-fashioned mowers. They came out there with scissors. I thought, oh, okay, I was expecting like hand-push mowers in India. No, this couple came out there and they squatted down and they cut the grass with their scissors. And they were so grateful that they had some work like that. So sometimes our beautification projects are like that. And then we have to be, you know, look how long that took, that corner. It was a man putting a statue there and then this and this and this and this and this. So we do have to congratulate ourselves for the progress we do make. And sometimes it's really hard for us to see because we're in it. We are the corner. It's hard for us to see. So that's why sometimes, like, okay, when you do traditional purification, you keep note. You say, okay, I did these many mantras today. I did this many tomorrow. So that you can add them up. And then you go, wow, look how many I've done. Otherwise, it just feels like same old, same old. And when you're digging, you sometimes, you know, it's dirty. You know, you might cut your hand on something. It's, okay, so this is when the boil analogy comes in handy. So, you know, when you've got to lance that boil and all this pus comes out, that's when that analogy comes in handy. It is going to heal up and be a beautiful arm, leg, whatever. But there is junk that comes out in the purification process. But keeping your eye on the prize is always helpful. Yeah, Donna. Got a mic?
David's landfill analogy reminded me of early in my reporting career, I covered a landfill that was a Superfund site. And it was because all this garbage had been put into the ground, covered up with dirt, and then all the organic material in there turned into methane.
Oh, geez.
And it spread out all over, and people had methane coming into their houses. And
oh.
It was this horrible mess. And to me, it's just such a great metaphor for what happens.
Right.
If we just try to cover up the junk.
Right.
Because it becomes a worse problem
right.
than it was
right.
to begin with.
Right, exactly. And then so if you're looking from the Buddhist perspective of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, so we might not remember those lifetimes, but we are sitting with the methane gas, this one. And now, but now we're so lucky because we've... Oh, wow. We're so lucky. Yeah. Because now we have, we're in this lifetime, we have found more tools to clean up that methane. You know, it's so true. There was something, like Geshe-la always said, when I was talking to Geshe-la about karma and about, you know, in this lifetime, sometimes you've got the crap from other, and you don't even remember that, you know, and it's not fair. And he goes like, yeah. He said, you know, like when you fart in the middle of the night and you don't remember it, but you got to smell it. I said, oh, okay. So kind of like that. Yeah, can you get a mic back there? Okay, yeah, them and then there.
And my mom's here, so I can't lie. But she knows I hate cleaning, right? So they came, my mom and dad came to visit me for a few days this week, and, you know, I wait till the last minute to clean up the house, and I rush around, and then it's just not clean. And, you know, me personally have done a lot of damage to myself. And since I've come on this path, you know, I'm slow. It just made me realize, just the metaphor I got was that this takes time. Because I've done a lot of self-sabotage to myself, both physically and mentally, and it takes time. And I'm learning how to stop and at least acknowledge myself a little bit for some progress, and it fires me up to just, you know, patience is not my strong suit.
Yeah.
And I want everything now, and just, so I'm realizing that the cleanup, it just takes time. And if I could see a little bit, then I'm on the right track. And if I keep practicing patience and I'm trying really hard, then it and it's worth it because I feel better.
Right.
You know, but it takes time. And that's, for me, that's been an eye-opening thing because I was always in a rush, always expected a quick fix, and it doesn't work like that.
Right. It does take time. And, you know, if we wait to the last minute, it's a lot more to clean up. If we wait till the last minute, then there's not a whole lot. Then we spend that whole day cleaning. And all of the things that we get from our support groups, that's what we need to do for our own mind as we're engaged in this cleanup project. Yeah.
I'm new here, and you hit a bingo with me as far as methane gas.
Yeah.
The C's are collecting a lot of methane, which will eventually explode, like it did in Siberia last year, a big hole, methane. But we all have to clean up the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon pollution. We have to, every one of us, write to your senators, whoever you have to do. Everyone here can do something to clean up Earth and to save our planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have no other place to go,
right?
And if I try to educate people on sea level rise, which is happening, let's save the planet. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that these things are kind of coming together at the same time. That the more and more of us are getting concerned about the planet as well as our minds at the same time. And I love what you said about, you know, we have no other place to go. You know, physically and also mentally, you know, as I think Robert Thurman said, you know, we're not going to get out of this dead, that our death doesn't mean we've escaped from this whole cycle of samsara. So we can't escape our mind stream if you believe in lifetime after lifetime, just like we can't escape the earth. And so taking care of one is the same. It's the same thing. And then as we are cleaning up the planet, using that as a way to work on our minds, you know, just like I said before, this methane isn't just methane. That we bury stuff, and as long as we can't see it, right? As long as that corner's over there, as long as we can't see it, it's okay. But it, you know, it has a way of backfiring on us the longer we ignore it. Yeah.
I dutifully ran out Friday night at 9:24 p.m. to watch the International Space Station fly overhead because it's always amazing to me. You can see it quite clearly on a clear night, and it moves right along. But I'm thinking, first of all, whoa, that is so cool. There's people up there. And then I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'd love to see what they're seeing. What have you? And then I thought, oh, I wonder what they are seeing sometimes because what they have seen sometimes is not very good mm-hmm. about our planet mm-hmm. and what and going along with the methane and what we are doing to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think just cleaning up our own acts, whether it be something physically that we do or internally that we do, it is mm-hmm. all of huge benefit to mm-hmm. ourselves and each other and our home.
Right, right, yeah. With that attitude, we can't lose, you know. And, you know, for those of us who have complicated past and histories, just like this planet, and not to give up. I think it was Lama Yeshe who said, you know, the juicier samsara you've had, the more incredibly juicy and passionate your path to enlightenment will be. So you're just taking that energy, just like all that garbage that I saw this guy has created, this box. He's in Jerusalem, and he's created one for electricity and one to use in communities that don't have electricity. You put all your garbage scraps in there, and then they come out to be oil that can heat your house. So then the more junk you've got to go in there, the more you, energy you're going to have, clean energy. So it's kind of like that. We got a lot of us have a lot of junk to clean up, but not to give up. You know, that's when you put that little poster that of His Holiness saying "Never give up" all around your house. You know, you are eventually. There is going to be a time when you've cleaned out that gully entirely. You know, that gives me a lot of hope. There will be some day in some life when that's completely clean. Wow, what a day. So now we've just created a little bit more merit, 15 minutes worth of merit,
right,
by talking and sharing and listening and thinking about this topic. And take some time to dedicate that what you've just created. These are like seeds that you've just created, and now how they will ripen depends on where you dedicate them. So if you don't dedicate them, they could ripen into being a very wealthy, powerful person with a mind that's kind of chaotic. I think you might know some people running for president or kind of similar who have so much, right? How did they get all of that? From due to past merit, but maybe not dedicated in the right way. So you might want to dedicate it to the complete purification, beautification of yourself, of your planet, of your fellow beings. The more rooftops you paint, the more areas in your mind, in your neighborhood, inner and outer, that you clean up, the more people are going to want to, more people will benefit from it, whether you realize it or not. Whether you realize the ripple effects or not, they are benefiting. So then we're going to say the dedication prayers, which are like a vehicle.
Wait, Steve.
Yes?
You mentioned time lapse. How about if we show the mandala that
built
right where you're sitting, I think?
Okay, yeah, very cool. I think so. Geshe Sampo is one of those heads you're seeing. Those are grains of sand, folks. So I promise you, you're doing the same. Thank you, Chris. That's great. So, you know, you've heard one day at a time, one grain of sand at a time. Patience, patience. That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to do some dedication prayers now. So this is like a vehicle to dedicate all that I was just talking about. So with that intention in mind of planting the seeds where you want to plant them, we're going to say these prayers.
Would somebody mind turning on the lights again? Because we are going to go to page 246 for Shanti Deva's prayer. 246. May all beings everywhere,
plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing and the hungry find food. May those thirsty with my water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth,
those weak with
sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
And then if you flip to the previous page, on page 244, make sure I do this in the right order, we'll do the His Holiness the Dalai Lama prayer at the top of page 244. In a land encircled by snow mountains,
you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Tenzin Gyatso,
please remain until samsara ends. And then if you go to the bottom of page 245, we'll do the long life prayer for Ken Rinpoche. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And then going back over to page 244, the Lama Zopa Rinpoche prayer. You who uphold the subduer's moral way,
who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please live long.
And then seven green Kara mantras.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thanks, everybody. It was fun.